Father, you truly are great, and you have shown your greatness in our lives through the salvation that you have given us, and we ask that you would show your power again to us today. We ask that we would hear your voice in your word. We ask that that you would continue the work that you have began in our lives and in this church. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. 2 weeks ago, we made an announcement about a church plant that Kenny Lynch is going to be leading in Downingtown. Last week, after the second service, we had the information meeting, and it was so great that so many of you showed up there. Today, we have been praying that God would use this meeting to place into our hearts an even greater desire to train future leaders and to send them to the pastor's college that we have in Sovereign Grace so that we can see even more churches planted in our area as the fragrance of Christ is spread in cities around here and in states around here as well. You know that I'm regularly having conversations with Dave, that there's no one who has played a greater role in my understanding and practice of leadership than our former senior pastor. And one of the conversations that is on the forefront of my mind as I was preparing for today is a conversation that he had with the pastoral team on August 6th of this last year. It was in one of our pastoral team meetings. We're all seated around a table, and Dave was sharing thoughts on what it means for us as a church to continue to be devoted to planting churches long into the future. And he encouraged us to plant aggressively. He encouraged us to plant often. He encouraged us as a pastoral team to develop a 5-year plan that expresses a commitment to developing leaders and sending men to the pastor's college and planting churches in our area. And as Dave was communicating these things, every word that he spoke resonated in the heart of every man in that room. This has been our mission as a church, and it will continue to be something that we desire to give ourselves to. And I'd want you to know that Dave's passion to see churches planted is just one of the many areas that he has shaped and informed my leadership of this church. So today, after the sermon, we're going to be taking up a one-time mission fund offering for the mission fund. For those who don't know, what's the mission fund? This is a fundraising structure that we use to provide support in three main categories: building, generosity, and the pastor's college. And so the building category includes debt reduction and building improvements. You remember the mission fund is what enabled us to pay off the land and building that we are now in, which was an $8 million project, paid off in 7 years through the mission fund because of your generous giving. I have an office to study in every day because of your giving to the mission fund. Another category is generosity. Well, that's the second one, which includes benevolence and giving to other gospel-centered ministries. And so some of you might remember a couple years ago when a family in the church lost their home and everything to a fire, and we as a church, because of the mission fund and your giving to the mission fund, were able to provide financial assistance to them. And that category as well includes generosity to other gospel-centered ministries, Desiring God Ministries, Paul Tripp Ministries, and others. And then the third category is the pastor's college. The pastor's college is a 10-month training for future pastors that takes place in Gaithersburg, Maryland, run by Sovereign Grace Ministries, the family of churches that we are a part of. And so under the Pastor's College category, that includes training leaders and church planting. Now, in the past, our mission fund, we've approached it a few different ways. Typically, we do a one-time offering, and then we do monthly pledges as well. What we're going to do this year is just do a one-time offering, so we won't be asking for monthly pledges this year. I know some of you have and continue to give on a monthly basis to the mission fund. We're grateful for that, and thank God for your generosity. We're not going to be asking for that today, though. It will just be a one-time offering for the mission fund. We'll do that at the end of the service today. As we have prayed and talked as a pastoral team about how we want to approach the mission fund this year, it has obviously been an important fact for us that we're living in the middle of an economic downturn, and that's really affected our thinking and our approach to this. So, for example, we're not going to be raising money and focusing on developing the house across the parking lot, the White House, in this year. We hopefully will get to it in the future, in the near future, and it remains something that's on the agenda. Some of you have expressed excitement about it. We're excited about it as well, but for this year, we're not going to be focusing on the White House or any of the building developments here. We're choosing instead to focus on these other two categories. Generosity, because that allows us as a church to care for one another, and especially those who are going through difficult times financially as it relates to the economy. We want to be able to care for one another. The Mission Fund provides a structure and a means, one means for us to do that. And so a portion of the money you give today will go to that, to helping those who do experience difficult times because of the economy that we are in. But because of our desire to plant more churches, because we are planting a church later this year, and because so many of us are thinking about church planting, this is going to be the focus today, this Pastor's College category, and specifically our call to raise up future leaders and to send them to the Pastor's College and to see churches planted locally in nearby cities and regionally in nearby states. We believe that there are future leaders. We believe that there are future church planters among us. You know, maybe you're sitting next to one. Maybe you're raising someone, a boy, who will one day be called to be invested in as a leader and lead a church plant. We feel a burden and a sense of call to envision the church for this, to identify in these men, to train them, to send them to the Pastor's College so that we can see more churches planted. So that's what we believe God's calling us to in coming years. It's what we're excited about. And our prayer today is that we as a church body would all embrace this vision and play our part in what God has called us to, because it's not something that rests on the backs of one or two people. It's something that we desire the whole church to take ownership of. And the best way that I know to cultivate in our hearts a desire to participate in this mission is to understand what God says about the mission we have been given. And so please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. This is a passage where the Apostle Paul is describing his own ministry of planting churches and building churches with the gospel. And it is a text that God has given us because there are things he wants every one of us to know about the mission that we have been given. The aim of this text is that we would have our eyes opened to the significance of what we are involved in as a church, that we would gain a sense of the glory and the weight of our mission, and that we would continually spread the aroma of Christ in Glen Mills and in Downingtown and beyond. And so let's read together, beginning in verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll read verses 12 through 17. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Three things we learn about our mission from these verses. The first one is this: our mission balances preservation and proclamation. Our mission balances preservation and proclamation. What I mean by that is that the gospel, the message of Christ crucified for our sins, is a message that must be preserved in strong, established, growing local churches, and it is something that must be proclaimed through the planting of new churches. Those two things, gospel preservation, gospel proclamation, are both vital to our mission together. In verses 12 and 13, Paul's explaining some of the context and the background of the letter. Paul had previously written a very severe letter to the church in Corinth, a tearful letter that he sent by way of Titus. So Titus had delivered this letter to the church in Corinth. That was a difficult letter to read. And now Paul is wondering how they're going to respond. The plan was to meet up with Titus in Troas, and apparently if that didn't work, to go on to Macedonia. Paul is in Troas, and while he's there waiting for Titus, a door was opened for him in the Lord. There was a great evangelistic opportunity for Paul in Troas, probably a church planting opportunity. That's what an apostle does when he's just waiting in a town to get an update from someone. You plant a church. So he has this door that opens. Great opportunity for the gospel. There's just one problem. Verse 13. My spirit, he says, was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. He was dying to know how the church in Corinth was doing, which meant that he wanted to hear from Titus. And so he says, I took leave of them in Troas and went on to Macedonia to find Titus so I can hear how the church in Corinth is doing. Does it surprise you that he left? It surprised me as I initially read this. You have a perfect evangelistic church planting opportunity proclaiming the gospel in Troas to those who do not know Christ. Open door for effective ministry. And the Apostle Paul just walks away. Why? What is it that raises to such great importance to Paul and to God that he walks away from an open door that the Lord provided? He cared about the church in Corinth. He wanted the church in Corinth to be established, to grow in maturity. He cared about the preservation of the gospel in this church. Our mission balances preservation and proclamation. This is what we mean when we say we exist to treasure, proclaim, and grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The preservation of the gospel, treasuring, growing, proclaiming the gospel, proclaim. And so one thing that this means is that we must never approach church planting in a way that compromises the health of existing churches. Even when doors are opened and God provides opportunities for the gospel, we must not move so quickly that our commitment to existing churches is compromised. You may have noticed this if you've been around for some time. In Sovereign Grace Ministries in general, in Covenant Fellowship Church in particular, we intentionally build strategically and at a relatively moderate pace compared to how we could approach church planting. And it's because our goal is not to see, you know, how many churches can we plant in the shortest period of time, ready, set, go, everyone plant like mad, and then, you know, just see what happens. Our goal isn't to say we're going to plant this many churches in this amount of time. Our goal is the preservation of the gospel and the proclamation of the gospel, and holding these two things, as Paul did and as God's word teaches us, in tension and in balance. And this should also remind us that every one of us has a vital role to play in the mission, regardless of whether or not you participate in a church plant, because most of us won't participate in a church plant. But we shouldn't think that going on a church plant is, you know, participating in the mission, you know, while opting out of a church plant or staying here is somehow not, you know, you're opting out of the mission. No, it includes both. And that means that it doesn't work, you know, to say, well, I'm just kind of coasting spiritually these days, so I think I'll just stay at Covenant Fellowship. You know, I'm not too interested in making any sacrifices in this season, so I think I'll just stay at Covenant Fellowship. You know, as if we're looking to attract all the people that we can who are drifting, not wanting to make sacrifice, and then send out all the passionate people who are committed to the mission. You know, that's not it at all. In fact, one of the things that I've been praying, that we have been praying, is that God would use this church plant in Downingtown to strengthen us as a church. So those of us who aren't going, we pray that God would use this to deepen our sense of commitment to the church, our passion for the church, sense of involvement in the church, and that where there are people who are drifting, perhaps this will provide an opportunity to recommit ourselves to the mission of Covenant Fellowship Church that God has called us to. Our mission balances preservation and proclamation. The second thing we learn about the mission from this text: our mission spreads the fragrance of Christ. Our mission spreads the fragrance of Christ. In verse 14, there's a transition. Paul transitions from talking about the tension and the difficulties and some of the uncertainties of his mission. So he's saying his spirit's not at rest. He couldn't find Titus. He leaves an open door. In verse 14, then, he transitions somewhat abruptly to praising God, to thanking God for the ministry and the mission that he has been given. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Triumphal procession is an image taken from Roman military world. After a war, the conquering general rides through the city on a chariot, four horses, behind him the victorious soldiers, and behind them are lined all of the prisoners of the enemy who have been defeated, and they are marched through town in a parade procession where there is incense that is burned, and everyone in the whole city and in the line can smell the incense that signifies that the victory has been won in the battle. It's a great image. It was an image that inspired Paul to say, "Thanks be to God," and it's an image that should incite in our hearts a similar thanksgiving and praise. There are times in life when all we see is weakness and weariness and setbacks and defeat and discouragement, and maybe some of you are there today. Because of this image, it's at those times that we can remind ourselves, yes, I am weak and frail, but that is not the final word. It's not the final perspective on the reality of the situation according to God's word. God in Christ is leading me. He is leading us in his triumphant victory march. That will change the way you respond to weakness and discouragement and difficulty. What makes this mission that we have been called to so glorious is that despite all appearances, we know that in Christ, heaven's champion, because of his death, because of his resurrection, his victory over sin and death, we know that we, as his people who have trusted in his work, share in his triumph. We are more than conquerors. We are victors with Christ. And we, well, not only that, God is using us in making Christ known in the world. And so there is a statement here of the influence that we have through God in Christ. Through us, it says, he is spreading the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Verse 15, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. That's the perishing. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. So Christians are like that incense. The way that we live, the message of the gospel that we speak is like incense that fills this world and divides everyone into one of two groups. And just as everyone who smelled the incense then, it would have either meant victory or for those who had lost defeat, so the gospel and the witness of believers is to some the greatest news in the world, a message from life to life that will lead to eternal life. To others, a message from death to death, who are perishing in their sin because they have not accepted Christ. Everyone falls into one of those two categories, and it's us that God uses to spread this fragrant aroma. In the spreading of this fragrance of Christ and in how people respond to it, eternal destinations are being revealed. And so great is the weight of that that Paul says in the end of verse 16, who is sufficient for these things. The reason that we plant churches is to spread a fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's the reason we're planting the church in Downingtown. It's the reason we've planted every church that we have planted. It's why we hope to continue planting churches in the future. Church planting is a diffusing of the knowledge of Christ unlike anything else. And as we've thought about our church planting strategy, we feel like we really want to do, like God's leading us to do more local plants. And so, you know, take the map, draw Glen Mills in, 50-mile radius or so. We would love to be involved and used by God in a spreading of the knowledge of Christ and the aroma of Christ in our area and in the area that God has placed us in. And what we've found through our experience is that when we do local plants, you know, rather than, because we have planted and we will continue to plant occasionally churches hundreds of miles away, what we found though is when we plant churches closer, those churches are able to start from a stronger base and a stronger team, that there's often less of a financial cost involved because it doesn't involve people relocating often, and that the church has been planted is able to benefit from their proximity to Covenant Fellowship, and we are able to continue to serve them and be in close relationship with them. We hope to see a spreading of the aroma of Christ in our area through church planting. Our mission spreads the fragrance of Christ. And the third point is that our mission requires a few good men. Our mission requires a few good men. Verse 17 highlights the relationship between the mission and qualified men, qualified leaders. It gives a profile of the type of man that is needed. Verse 17, for we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. That's a profile of the type of man who's called to lead in this spreading of the aroma of Christ. And such men have always been hard to come by, and it's one of the reasons that we are told that what we are looking for is not like so many. Apparently we're talking about a minority, even of those who enter the ministry. Paul's aware so many are peddlers of God's word, so many are in for it for what they can get out of it, for personal gain, for financial gain, for their own reputation. Paul says, that's not what we're like. And then he says, but, so the contrast, and here God gives us a description of what the type of man is that we are so much in need of, men of sincerity. As commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak Christ. In other words, we need men who are called by God. We need men of sincerity and proper motivations before God, men who love and respect God's word and know how to handle God's word with accuracy and refuse to tamper with it or be a peddler with God's word. Men who can speak in Christ. Men who can preach this word that God has given us. See, this mission is so great and so glorious that it calls for the leadership of certain type of men. There is a great need in our day and in our church for such men so that we can carry out this mission and this burden that God has laid on our hearts to invest in future leaders, send them to the pastor's college, and see churches planted. Because when it comes to planting churches, there are many factors that are important. None of them are more important than the church planter, the man who leads this. Our ability to plant churches depends on our ability to identify and train future leaders. See, Sovereign Grace, we benefit tremendously from our partnership with Sovereign Grace in these things. Sovereign Grace provides generous funding for church plants. Our part as a church is to identify, train, and develop the men who are called to lead church plants, to work with these men locally, to provide internships. This is sort of our church planting process. Provide an internship, send them to the pastor's college. We have a church planting residence that we then host on the other side, and we support them as we send them out into the field in church planting. Our job relates to the called men. Our job relates to making the sacrifices and the investment necessary to send out men and teams. And you as a church have done an incredible job supporting and mobilizing men, church planters, for the call on their life. We as a church have had the privilege of planting 10 churches since we ourselves were planted in 1984 by Covenant Life Church. We have planted in Cherry Hill, 1993, Chester, 1994, which ended up folding back into Covenant Fellowship, Pittsburgh in 1996, Souderton 1999, Reading 2001, which was our first granddaughter church because it was planted by Cherry Hill, which we had planted. First Boston Church, 2001. Second Boston Church, 2002. Corning, New York, 2003. Middletown, Delaware, 2004. Brooklyn, 2004. What I want to highlight and what I want you to see isn't just, hey, we've planted some churches. I want you to see that those churches wouldn't have been able to be planted without the men who were identified and trained and supported in leading those church plants. Men that you know, like C.B. Eder and Chris Patton, Bauer Evans, Aaron Osborne, and others. Men who have been raised up from within the church, men you sent to the pastor's college, men who are faithfully serving in this church as members, and through training and discipleship were raised up to lead these church plants. This is the vision of Covenant Fellowship. This has been our desire in the past, and it continues to be our desire in the future. And now we have another name to add to that list of church planters in Kenny Lynch when he plants in Downingtown. And I want to thank you for how you have supported Kenny. And I want you to hear from him so that you can experience and receive the connection between your investment in a man and his ability to then go lead and plant a church. And so let's welcome Kenny as he comes to share with us.
I feel like one of the things I can say in response to Jared's message is that in many ways I feel like I'm a product of this vision, this biblical vision that we see laid out for the mission, but also the vision of Covenant Fellowship Church. I feel like many of you, I'm a product of God's grace, but I'm also a product of Covenant Fellowship Church. I feel like if you were to cut me, I would bleed CFC blood. People have made an investment into me at this church through their time, and they've also made an investment of their resources. When I arrived with my wife in 1993, I thought I was a believer. Dave Harvey would have characterized me as a functional unbeliever. Very confused, very disoriented in terms of what I did believe. Looked very different than I do now, had a lot more hair back then. And by the way, I do think I'm a Christian now, just so you're not wondering what kind of guy is going out to plant this church. Right away though, the people of Covenant Fellowship began to make an investment into us. I can remember taking the new members class, that was the Exploring Covenant Fellowship class, and meeting Marty Machowski right away. And he would come and talk to my wife, Amy, and I right before the class started every time. He would just get into these conversations with us. I remember him inviting us over to his house. And I can remember even sitting there and in my arrogance, giving him thoughts on how I thought the church should do certain things. Mark Prater, before he was in pastoral ministry, our first community group leader, he poured into my life. He spent so much time with me. Community group meetings were one of those things for those first few years of being married and involved in this church. I so looked forward to those meetings. Couldn't wait to go and talk about Jesus and his word and what he was doing in my life. Mark met with me outside of community group many, many, many times. I can think of many memories I have with Mark. Breakfast men's meetings that we had once a week. Many other community group leaders have invested their time and poured into me. Warren Bittner, Hobie Clark, Gerard Snyder, all these guys have poured into me and my discipleship. Remember being in Marty Michalski's discipleship group. That was like what we do for Invest now. We didn't have a Grow context, but we had the Invest or discipleship group like Invest. And Marty just spending so much time with us in the discipleship group, but also spending just time together. We would go hunting and fishing together and just talk about God. And he was discipling me. Sunday morning, just being here, Dave Harvey's preaching. Being introduced to men like C.J. Mahaney, serving opportunities, leading in the first Alpha course we ever did here alongside Jim Donahue, and him pouring in to my life as well. All of them helping me to understand the word and apply it to my life, helping me to understand how the gospel functions in all of life and how it functions to help us grow. Helps us to grow in our sanctification and godliness. Helps us to grow in our marriage. Helps us to grow in our parenting. So people have invested their time. They've also invested their resources. This church sent me to the pastor's college in 1998. I remember first hearing about the pastor's college, and as Dave Harvey described it, I thought, that is what I want. I want to be sent to the pastor's college so that I can be theologically trained and equipped to do pastoral ministry. And I remember him standing up and announcing to the church that in the first year of the pastor's college, they had decided to send three guys. A couple of those guys were single. They were younger men, younger than me. And I remember sitting and listening to that announcement and being so filled with joy for them and so filled with sadness for me. I remember sitting there literally crying. I can remember where I was sitting in the meeting and crying because I thought maybe pastoral ministry wasn't for me. Maybe I had missed this opportunity to be equipped in this way. The Lord was doing some very important things in my heart. He was teaching me what it means to be content in Him and Him alone. He was teaching me that what we trust in ultimately is what we expect to bring us true happiness. And the Lord was causing me to focus upon Him. That even if I wasn't called to be a pastor, I had Jesus. And so I remember that being a very important time. I remember getting to that place where I felt like I could lay everything down and just say, I'm going to run hard after you, Lord, no matter what you've called me to do. A few days later, I got a letter from Dave Harvey inviting me to consider attending the pastor's college. CFC sent me there. Paid for all my books, covered my tuition. I went there with Brian Vanderwide and Joseph Stegura. The pastor's college was a pivotal moment in my life. Some of the most important and influential theological instruction I've ever received took place there. That instruction is going to serve me and ultimately the church so well as we head to Downingtown. Jeff Perswell, C.J. Mahaney, Mike Bullmore, Brent Detweiler, guys like this just investing into me. Sovereign Grace Conferences, came back and did an internship here that Sovereign Grace contributed to, but also Covenant Fellowship, a continued investment into me. And the list goes on and on. How do I say thanks, though? I wish I could repay you in some way, but it would be impossible. This is what Paul writes in that same letter that Jared was preaching from, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Paul says this, he, referring to God, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for all your generosity, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. There is a sense that in which covenant fellowship, I believe, will reap immediately from the sacrifices made in planting this church. Because we see that here in the scriptures, that God's going to reward you for your sacrifice. Your investment has prepared me 10 long years of preparation for planting this church. And I believe that in going, we're going to go proclaim the gospel and tell people about the love of Jesus. And the result, we hope, our intention in going, is that there would be fruit. There'll be lives transformed by the grace of the gospel. There are those who are not in church this morning, worshiping the Savior that we love, who within a year's time may be transformed by the saving grace of God and worshiping alongside a new community in the area of Downingtown. That's our hope. And perhaps we'll even be able to invest in a man, perhaps not even yet a Christian, and see him one day pastor God's people and perhaps have the privilege of sending out a church plant ourselves. The reality of it is many of you won't see firsthand the return on your investment in this life until eternity. But then you'll see it clearly, and our God will reward you greatly. Thanks for your love for me and my family and for your investment.
There is another man that you have mobilized and supported in his calling that I want you to hear from. God has been very good to us in providing a man for us to send to the pastor's college this year. And this is a couple that has been at the church here for several years that we've gotten to know, that we have evaluated, that's gone through our leadership training and has agreed to attend the Sovereign Grace Pastors College in August of this year. And so Jace and Jenny Hudson are going to be, yep. Are going to be relocating to Gaithersburg, Maryland. And the way this works is that we always take it just one step at a time. The plan is for him to, after receiving continued evaluation and training there, return here for a church planting residence, and then perhaps plant somewhere in the Midwest. So they're from Indiana, and perhaps it would be in Indiana. We don't know. But I do want you to hear from Jace, and so let's welcome him as he comes.
Good afternoon. As Jared said, my name is Jace Hudson, and the pastors have asked me to share a little about my story. As a sophomore in college, I came across some teachings by a guy named CJ that completely turned my thinking about the church upside down. I had never been aware of the central role the church was given in God's plan. To me, church had only been a fun Sunday gathering. Now God's word about his church started to tear through me. As I caught God's vision for the church, he started to stir deep within me passions to preach God's goodness and to disciple and lead others towards Christ. I began to wonder if God was calling me to pastoral ministry, but I wasn't sure. I was aware of my tendency towards selfish ambition and knew I needed some kind of confirmation for what I felt God was doing in my heart. I considered seminary, but it was then that God used another sermon series to help shape my desire to explore ministry. This time, it was Dave Harvey's teachings, Are You Called? Again, Everything I thought I understood was turned over. With a clarity that rattled my brain but inflamed my heart, Dave taught passionately about the primary role the church has in evaluating and confirming a man's call to ministry. There must be confirmation, Dave cautioned, by those who have the responsibility and authority to render it. Convinced that I needed evaluation from my church, I realized I needed to be under pastoral care that I trusted and who honestly and humbly evaluate me. And since most of my formative teachings had come from Sovereign Grace leaders, it seemed obvious to me to move to a Sovereign Grace church. Unfortunately, there are not yet any Sovereign Grace churches in the state of Indiana. So in a wild ride that took place over several years and includes me meeting and marrying my wonderful wife, Jenny, we found ourselves leaving all we knew in Indiana, family and friends and rolling cornfields as far as the eye could see, and moving here where they drink something called a water. Took me a while to figure out what that was. We've been here almost 2 years now with the goal of serving faithfully under the evaluation of our pastors and all of you. The time Jenny and I have had here at Covenant has been unforgettable. We have had the privilege of participating in Sunday morning, serving in Second Saturdays, attending Grow and Invest, and are currently leading a singles community group. I wish I could highlight for you all the things God has taught us through you. You, Covenant, have been used by God to show us the depths and beauty of the cross, to equip us as faithful Christians, and to prepare us for possible future ministry. And we feel so indebted to you. God, in the timing of his perfect wisdom, has graciously extended to us an invitation to us through the pastors and all of you to attend the Pastors College this fall. This is an amazing opportunity for us to be prepared for pastoral ministry, not through an institution, but through a local church. We consider it a great privilege to be set aside by all of you for a year of rigorous study and practical training. Though our hearts burn for the labor of pastoral ministry, Jenny and I are greatly aware of our need for further instruction and evaluation. We need more of God's work in us before we're ready for God to work through us. After a year at the PC, we hope to enter into a church planting internship. Jesus' great commission has snatched us, and we have the desire to plant churches where they're desperately needed. We are so grateful that you as a church have a vision to train up the next generation and see churches planted for God's glory. We can think of no better place to intern and learn the ways of church planting than right here at Covenant Fellowship Church. Not only do we have the leadership committed to church planting, not only do we have a rich history of wisdom to draw from in church planting, but there's all of you, a congregation fiercely devoted to Christ, his church, and his mission. Jenny and I are full of gratitude for all of you and your ministry to us. You have been a congregation easy to love because of the one you follow. Thank you for your faithfulness to God, and thank you for the opportunity you're entrusting with Jenny and I.
We are so excited about what God has in store for us in the future in this area of church planting. We truly do believe that there are men in this room, young men who are called to plant churches one day. And your giving to the Mission Fund today not only supports the Hudsons, it allows us to develop future leaders, send men to the Pastor's College, provide internships, and church planting residences here so the churches can be planted in the future and so that the fragrance, the aroma of Christ can be spread in our area. Let me show you what we've been talking about as some of the possible churches that we might be able to plant in the future. And so It's some of the possible churches that we might be able to plant, hear those words in all caps. Let me start with a picture of some of the existing Sovereign Grace churches in our area. And there are more Sovereign Grace churches in central and western and PA. These are just some of the ones in our area. And here are some of the possible future church plants. These aren't listed in any sort of order of priority. They're just areas that we are considering, areas we are praying about. We don't know for certain where we're going to plant next. We just know that God's calling us as a church to prepare to church plant again. And so, the first one is Downingtown, and that one is more than just potential. It seems that is coming this September. They will launch regional church plant as well. So this could be Indiana or Ohio. Should Jace end up leading a church plant, it could be in one of those places. Southern Chester County, this could be somewhere in the Avengrove area. Philadelphia, we love this city. We would love to see Sovereign Grace there. I think many churches could eventually be planted in the city. Southern Montgomery County, this could be King of Prussia area. Gloucester County, which is a growing area that would be wonderful for a church plant. Bucks County, which is an area that's packed with people. We might be able to join with Souderton in sort of a joint church plant there. And there are other areas and possibilities as well. But these seem like the areas that would make strong church plants. And if you have a location, you know, that you're praying for and you're thinking, what's up? It's not on the list. You're going to be given what you see here as a card on your way out today. Just take that card, write the location you're praying for right on it, and hang it on your fridge and continue to pray. You know, it's important to understand, we don't have a defined, you know, master plan that we've laid out. We do want to hear from you. And if there is a location that stirs your heart from the one that we've mentioned, I can think of no better example to follow than the example of Gary Eberle. Gary and Laura live in the Downingtown area. They lived there for years. They desired a church plant to be there. And the way that he handled himself just over the years has been exemplary because he has continued to be committed and involved. He hasn't, grown discontent because of unmet expectations. And so you could talk to him, pray, talk with us as pastors, remain faithfully involved here. The thought of planting churches is one that is exciting to us. And what we realize is that developing of future leaders and this vision that we have for church planting won't happen apart from our embracing this as a whole church. And here's what you can do. There are two things that I want to lay out. The first one is to pray for our mission. I mentioned you'll be given a card on the way out. There'll be prayer bullets on there as well. We desperately need your prayers. We need prayers that God would raise up called men to plant new churches. These are the bullets on that card, because church plants cannot happen apart from called men. Pray that the members of Covenant Fellowship would give generously, which in my mind is somewhat like praying that the sun would continue to shine. You guys do great in the area of generosity, but we don't want to assume on anything or presume on anything. And so pray for generous giving. Pray that God would strengthen our church to send out more church plants. Pray that God would give us wisdom on where to locate future church plants. And then the second thing, in addition to praying, is to give financially to our mission. To consider giving to our mission fund that we are going to do here today as we end this service. Remember, this is a one-time offering, and if you do contribute monthly and have done that and you want to, that's wonderful. You can continue to do that, but what we're going to do today is just a one-time offering. We want you to give whatever you feel God is calling you to give. I trust you don't feel any pressure from me. If you're here with us as a guest, just pass the basket on by. We realize that because of the economic times that we're in, that not everyone is in a position where you're able to contribute. So some of you have seen in the church plant that Kenny's leading something that you love and want to see happen in the future. And in what we're doing in sending the Hudsons to the Pastor College, you'd love to contribute to seeing that happen more. But maybe you're just not at a place where you feel like you're able to participate financially in this way. And we want to release you and to have you feel the freedom to follow what it is that God is calling you to do in terms of participating. If you do desire to participate and you're writing a check, make it up to Covenant Fellowship, write Mission Fund in the memo line. And before we do that though, let's pray just for a moment. Father, we thank you for how we have experienced your goodness in the past. Thank you for the churches that we've been able to plant and for giving us this vision and this desire from our inception as a church. And we ask that you would give us the privilege of being involved in continuing to participate in this great mission so that we can be involved in seeing more leaders raised up and more churches planted for your glory. Father, I pray that you would comfort those and draw near to those who are in financial difficulty. I ask that they would be in awareness of your presence and your love to them and your care for them in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's have the ushers go ahead and come forward and begin taking up the offering. And remember that as we do this as well, these will be funds that we will use to for the generosity category as well. So this goes into our mission fund, and we'll be able to use this to help those in need. Let me communicate my gratitude to God for you, for your enthusiastic support of where God is leading us. Thank you for the way that you've responded to the Downingtown Church being planted, to the sacrifices that are involved in that. Thank you for how you've responded to supporting and sending the Hudsons to the Pastor's College. There are so many things that we could not do apart from your generosity, and it simply makes it for us as pastors an absolute joy to lead you. We love days like this, and we love leading you because of the heart that God has given you. And let me also thank you for hosting the Sovereign Grace Church Planting Department here at Covenant Fellowship. What a tremendous blessing it is to have Dave, who is here, who's on point for church planting, to have him still serving on our pastoral team, that we're able to benefit from his involvement and his wisdom and the strategy that he's bringing to Sovereign Grace, that we have Mark and Rob who are helping there as well. We are in a position as a local church where I believe there are some exciting things that God has for us in the area of church planting, some things that he wants to continue to do in this church and to use us for. And we couldn't do that without your heart to have Sovereign Grace be here and your support of those men. We exist to treasure, proclaim, and grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a mission that we want everyone in the church to buy into and to give their lives to. I realize it can be tempting to think at a large church, you know, well, the involvement of each individual person isn't as important because, you know, if I just drop out, everything keeps on going. I think that misconception is one of the reasons it can be difficult to maintain a large church that is healthy and strong. And it's my desire for us to continue in this. And it won't happen unless we realize that God's calling us as his church, as his people, as his called out ones, his family, to join in this mission together and to support it and to strive to excel in building up the church as every member does his part.